Hi, everyone. I'm Emily.
And I'm Vince.
And this is The Lighthouse Lowdown.
You had a different tone there.
I know. Sometimes I want to switch it up, but I should probably say the same.
No, welcome to The Lowdown.
I have a good appreciation now for the fact that we can just play the sound through our interface. I mean, nice. I know it's been like years or something, like a year since we got this, but how nice that I don't have to add it in afterwards and we can just like chat.
Yeah, people
while it fades out.
Coffee's hitting.
What were you going to say? As
people may not know that I can just push a button and then keep talking through it. It's not like
I added in later.
Which a lot of people have to do. So it's nice. We're like pro.
We're like mid-tier podcasters.
Yes.
Equipment-wise.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome, everybody. I am doing a listener lighthouse today. If you send in a lighthouse for us to cover, it gets added to our list. And I've decided the next two episodes are going to be solely from that list.
Nice.
And so that's what we're doing today. I do have a history buoy. It's not what I wanted it to be because this is coming out the week of Thanksgiving. Mm. So Thanksgiving's on Thursday. It's coming out on Monday. So I wanted to do how did keepers spend Thanksgiving at lighthouses? Nice. But unfortunately, you know, like most keepers, they got like a stipend to supply their own food because they lived in a town, most of them. But then there's a lot of offshore lighthouses that would still get shipments in of food or like food delivered to them specifically. You know how in the past we talked about like early on keepers would get like 20 pounds of onions or something.
Yeah, 200 pounds of pork.
Yeah. So I thought that they would have something like that, but I didn't find it. So this kind of turned into like specific events at lighthouses during Thanksgiving.
Nice.
That like I picked the good ones because we know that there's lots of bad Thanksgivings at lighthouses. Yeah. Actually, it made me think of, we covered the wreck of the Isidore. The Isidore. You remember?
The Isidore. I can't remember.
Isa. Or Isidore.
Isidore.
And that happened on Thanksgiving, and actually, which was funny, I'm pretty sure I said it happened on Thanksgiving, so I looked it up, and it left out of the port that I'm covering today.
No way.
How weird is that?
Where at? Also, you're correct, that is weird.
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell you until I'm done with my history buoy. Slow down. Okay, so yeah, I'm just going to do a couple of stories, so it'll be a little bit of reading, but I thought it would be fun. So, or offshore lighthouses often would write letters to newspapers at like their local or like at the mainland so that That's people cool. knew what was going on at the lighthouses because they would never know. Like, especially the ones that are like 20 miles offshore.
Oh, yeah.
Never going to see them. But the Rockland, is it courier? Like a courier.
Courier. Someone who carries messages?
Yeah.
Courier. I've never challenged my own pronunciation of this
I know.
Word.
Well, it's usually a word you read.
Like there's a carrier pigeon, but a courier
is a person.
Like on a bike messenger.
Yeah.
Or with a boat. Courier.
With a boat.
Gosh.
I'm just going to say courier.
Yes.
The Rockland Courier Gazette received a letter in 1925 from, I didn't look this one up.
Spit it out.
Oh, jeez.
Spit it. Spit it out.
Matinicus. That's how it's spelled anyway. Rocklight saying, quote, Thanksgiving, we were all present at roll call when Mrs. Hilt, who was the head keeper's wife, sounded the gong at 12 sharp and all gathered around the dining table loaded down with goodies prepared by the housewives. Quite needless to say, it was a jolly party for the remainder of the day and evening. Everyone joined in playing games, and the phonograph wasn't idle.
Nice.
The phonograph. Like, 1925 seems late in my head for a phonograph. Like, by then we had...
What's a phonograph?
It's the... You know, you play records and it has a big thing.
20s? I think that's accurate.
Yeah, probably.
They were well-developed by that time. Like, they were...
I think covering lighthouses has stunted my like my idea of how old things are. Because a lot of times we're talking about lighthouses being built in like mid 1800s. And so then I think the lines are getting blurred for me for technology.
I think Jamie at work told me the other day, optimists are always late because I think about where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do. And that's one of the reasons I'm always late everywhere I go. So I'm like, oh, yeah, it'll be, you know, I'll just get right downstairs and be 5 minutes.
That's definitely true. But, okay, it took me that long to process what.
And you know, here's where we're tied back. I'm not just having a schizophrenic break right now.
Schizophrenic.
Also, sorry, everyone. Also, looking at history, we learn about technology and we learn about this is when this happened. This is when this happened. You know, in this year, what else happened?
Mm-hmm.
And it frames it. And so as we've, I mean, I have history. In public school growing up, and I really enjoyed American history and some world history, but it's so just a speck of dust on each event. Like, what was the Colosseum? Like, oh, like that was a day in
history.
School.
I find history really, I mean, so as we have a historical podcast, so right. It kind of shows, but
we're talking mostly about late 1800s to early 1900s.
Yeah.
So that 100 years. And even in there, my mind is blown on how things have changed. And then I think about today and I'm like, yeah, nothing's changing today compared to back then. But that's actually inversely true.
Yeah.
The change today is exponential.
So technology's wild.
And now we've
got
robotic dogs guarding people's houses with machine guns and flamethrowers.
What is this in reference to?
I'm just saying, like, that's crazy.
What makes you, do we have one of those?
Not us. We don't, but. The Americans.
Somebody has them?
Yeah, Chinese also. They released, this is totally off topic, everyone.
That's okay.
They released a video. I don't know who they are, okay?
Okay.
I saw a video of a Chinese robotic dog, which we have had, like Boston Dynamics.
Yeah.
Really well known for their instruments. They've had that for a couple years, that type of technology in better and better development, like doing gymnastics.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy. Robotics and controls. Now, the Chinese, some Chinese company has one that has wheeled feet.
Oh, gosh.
Like 4 or 5 inch wheels. And they show it going through a forest, like a forest at like 20 miles an hour.
Oh, like terrifying.
Jumping, going over rocks, around trees. And it has a machine gun. It has a like a six barrel, like
I'm telling you,
machine gun.
War these days would be terrifying.
The top comment was like, imagine being chased by this. And someone said, I always pick the bear. Uh-huh. It's like, oh, no. Yeah. It's scary, but yeah. Although to go back to the topic, okay. Think about beacon technology, lighting technology.
Yeah,
I think maybe it's oversimplified because that's how history is. We can't know everything, but as we look back, there's X number of years with this style of beacon, and then the Fresnel lens development, and then this style of fuel was adopted, and they're like, there's a lot to know in the history of lighting and beacons today. We don't, there's not even a thought of like, what do people use? It's how many technologies are in place for lighting and bleeding edge new things all the way down to what's built into your cell phone, which when I was in school, and I'm still kind of a young person, my teachers, probably like yours, said, you're never going to have a calculator everywhere you go. Hello?
Built in. You
not
remember,
only a calculator.
Like with our first phones, we didn't even have flashlights on them.
Yeah. Or it was a big deal to make it like when it got a text, you could light up the flashlight to show off you have a flashlight, or your phone fell on the couch.
That's right. And, you know, I forgot about that.
Like I was one
your
of those
light,
nerds.
Your flashlight would flash.
Not only do we have a calculator in our pocket, we have more technology than all of the breaking lighthouses, the best lighthouses in all of history, let alone the computer that sent rockets, men to the moon.
Yeah.
Not rockets. You know, the whole package.
But like, also rockets.
But just, and then we just, you know, watch TikTok or we're like, what's the weather today? Like,
yeah.
Imagine.
How do I get from here to there? I was just thinking the other day about how crazy maps. Like,
oh, it's crazy.
You used to be like, if you didn't know your way around, it was actually terrifying. Like you couldn't just go to a new town and just be like, I'll just put it into my phone. Yep. Or if you get lost, like you're actually in trouble.
Talk to people.
Yeah.
Trust people.
That's kind of how maybe the world is going downhill. Maybe we should get back on track. I was just like, wow, we've really. Yeah.
Everybody who's watching and listening, coffee is excellent.
Yeah. And it's also Saturday morning, so we have a lot to live for. Okay. The second story, the second story is from 1910. Boone Island Light had an eventful night before Thanksgiving. Yes?
I'm sorry. I have to interrupt. But it's relevant. It's relevant. My hand is up. You said on the first story, she rang a gong.
Yeah.
And then people came for dinner.
I don't know.
Do you think that's because they couldn't ring a triangle or a bell or yell? Because there's like, those would mean other things. Like if someone's yelling, they need help.
So this rock, from what I've gathered, was very, it was like in the middle of the ocean, like no obstructions at all. Often.
They had a gong.
So like, I think it was extremely windy. And so maybe they needed a loud sound in order to gather people on the island.
Yeah, but I'm saying they wouldn't want to mistake it for a fog signal.
Oh.
Or any other auditory signal that they would have.
Yeah, maybe.
That light station.
I bet it was just some kind of fun, goofy, like, dinner.
And was it a gong? Or was it like a pot, you know?
Yeah, maybe it's a metaphorical gong. Maybe they were just like, she told us to come to dinner. She rang the gong. Yeah. And we're like, what kind of gong?
Oh, gosh. Get zeroed in.
But yeah.
So I'm sorry. Back to
I heard that there was lots of people. Like he said, housewives. There was like.
It'd be fun.
Several families. And one time, one of them had like 14 children or something at a time. So like.
I mean, what else are you doing out
well,
there?
We'll have to cover that light because that sounds kind of insane. Like a whole
community.
Town on one little rock. So anyway, Boone Island. We're going to Boone Island. So I'm going to read here. Quote, the holiday was approaching, and I think this is from like a, I linked it in my show notes, but it's from a website. So it's quoting from a website. The holiday was approaching, and as nobody had been ashore for several weeks, they had gone down very close to nothing in the hearty line. Basically, they don't have like a lot of food left.
Oh, no.
He, Keeper Williams, was standing just inside the light tower on the evening before Thanksgiving and wondering what he and the boys were going to have the next day for the holiday. Sorry, it says repast. Repast.
That's probably an old word. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Suddenly, without any warning, he heard a terrific blow struck against the deck, anxious to find out that... I'm sorry, that thought went through my head, like that pause, where it's pause and then say deck is going to sound edited. There's a lot of like things when I'm editing, I'm like, that sounds edited.
Because we have really nice headphones and
yeah.
Really nice microphones.
So it sounds like I cut something out and then said deck. Sorry. Anxious to find out just what had happened, he went outside and there laying on the deck were four pair of black duck dead as a doornail. Thinking that it took more than just that to make such a thump, he went around the base of the tower. Among the rocks, he found four more. The birds were in unusual fine condition, and he and the boys had some Thanksgiving dinner, for which they were only too glad to give thanks to the Creator for remembering them at such a time. So
what?
Just like this.
You're saying, I'm gonna call them a murder because I don't know what they're called. A murder of ducks.
Flock. You just say flock.
Flock, that makes sense. They're birds.
<A murder.
laughs> Yeah, but so are crows. Crows
yeah,
are birds.
Yeah.
Anyways. A flock of ducks accidentally flew into the light tower
mm-hmm.
with such speed that they died.
Yes.
Or at least they appeared to be dead as a doornail, quote.
Uh-huh.
Eight of them?
Yeah. Which was not abnormal. Like, ducks often...
Eight of them.
...died. But yeah, eight is kind of shocking. And just as he was like, oh crap, what are we going to eat tomorrow? It's like, oh, here's a bunch of ducks.
Praise be.
Black ducks is interesting. I've never heard of black ducks. Probably don't have them here in the Midwest.
Yeah, I don't know ducks. I don't know my ducks.
Sure, the coast is
gotta
a different story.
Got to get my ducks in a row.
Also, ducks flying far out in the ocean?
I don't know that. I thought they were lake
I thought
things.
So too. But we're also not near water, so.
Yeah, we don't know these things.
It is interesting. We're so far from water, we don't even know what kind of birds live over there. We're like, oh, we got seagulls and like albatross, and past that, I'm like, there are no birds.
That's why when we're on vacation, we go to these lighthouse locations. We're like in awe as we wait for dinner at some like roadside shack. We're like, wow, look at the.
Well, it doesn't even matter.
What's in the water.
Because what's so normal to somebody else is just novel to us. Like if I saw black ducks, I'd be like, are those ducks? Cool. But yeah. So that was the story at Boone Island. I think they had pretty rough conditions out there too. Obviously, weather so bad they can't even get more food.
Yeah, that's
and,
scary.
And I'm pretty sure... So I also have one from Tillamook Rock, and then I'll be done. But Tillamook Rock, we tried to cover for like our second episode or something. Yeah. But
it was ambitious.
We weren't recording. It was tragic. But Tillamook Rock, it sounds like only one keeper got to go home for Thanksgiving, and the rest of them had to stay out there. Tillamook was one of those places where they shipped stuff to there. You know, like,
oh,
like,
to there. To the
yeah, island, like yeah. A lighthouse tender or something would bring out food. Mm-hmm. And so it looks like they actually got a Thanksgiving shipment for that. And it, I wish it had specified what it was going to be, but it was definitely used to have turkey. So in 1913, the weather was too poor for them to deliver this shipment. And, quote, the holiday looked bleak for the keepers who wondered what they had to be thankful for in such dismal conditions. Not only would they be without their families, they'd miss the traditional feast. No turkey would be enjoyed on Tillamook Rock. Just when things looked their worst, two ducks crashed into the lantern and fell dead on the metal gallery. The keepers wasted no time preparing the birds for dinner and enjoyed roasted duck for their Thanksgiving meal, truly thankful for the gift from heaven, which fell at just the right time. So,
here's the question.
Seems to be a common
theme.
That's
incredible. Here's the question. Were men more capable back then?
Yes.
And they all knew how to take a duck from the dead deck to dinner?
I was just thinking, and you'll hear about it later in this episode, more capable is all subject to stuff.
Or,
but
did they pick men for lighthouse keepers?
Can't believe you interrupted me.
You interrupted me. Who were these type of dudes?
Oh, that's good.
Like gruffnecks.
I think you're right that, and that's another episode I want to do, is what qualified you to be a lighthouse keeper? And a lot of lighthouse keepers, especially like today, I'm going to mention it, they kept animals. And so a lot of them had experience.
Livestock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not pets.
In
especially.
Keeping, yeah, livestock and like chickens and things. I don't know if that made you qualified, but I think keepers didn't used to be engineers or like people who knew how to work the foghorn and stuff because they didn't have that kind of stuff at the very beginning. So I don't know. Yeah, a lot of early lighthouse keepers, they talked about where they keep their animals. And
well, and the women who took over a lot of those roles, as we've learned through history, and they were head keepers and they were assistants. They weren't like, oh, well, I guess I'll have to leave. Like,
yeah.
They all knew all the skills because they were around, whether they brought those skills with them or they learned them at the lighthouse.
Right.
That's crazy. Cool.
That was my last story.
Very cool. What a nice
story.
So nice
kind of boring, but I mean, a lot of keepers didn't get the chance to celebrate, and there's all these stories of rescues. And like, if you look up Thanksgiving at lighthouses, most of them are like crazy rescues that happen and shipwrecks and things. Yeah. So maybe take this time to be thankful this Thanksgiving that you're not a lighthouse keeper diving into icy cold waters to save shipwrecked people.
And probably dying yourself.
Possibly. It's possible. And that's my history.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
That really was interesting. I like that a lot.
Good.
We haven't had one like that in a while. I've been like, this is a trumpet. Everything on the screen is actually a trumpet.
Oh, gosh. Our avid listeners will know what Vince is talking about. Moving on, our lighthouse of the day. It's a listener lighthouse, like I said. Thank you to Heather, and I believe it's pronounced Gwen, for sending this one in. And by the way, if you type this lighthouse into Google, it shows you the wrong lighthouse. Like, you know how it kind of cycles through pictures?
Yeah.
It shows you the wrong lighthouse, and that's because it's the lighthouse we're covering is Goat Island Light. And there's a lighthouse called Newport Harbor Light, which
has goats.
Can also be called Goat Island Light or Green Light, allegedly, if I remember correctly. And that one's in Rhode Island. So it's not the official name of the lighthouse, but Google put those images right in there. And it's also a cool one, so maybe we'll cover that one later, too. But this one is in Maine, the coast of southern Maine, east of the Kennebunk River in Porpoise Bay, which is like a small group of islands and rock ledges.
This is not far from Jeremy, right?
How did you know that by Kennebunk? Kennebunk?
Well, just the south of Maine.
Kennebunk. Oh my gosh.
Hold on 1 second. I seem to remember he was near Portsmouth.
Oh yeah, it is just north of that. Portsmouth is just on the other side of the border of Maine.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I see Kennebunk. I see it on the map. Okay.
Kennebunk Port.
Yeah, not far. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Shout out to Jeremy.
Yeah. Goat Island is about a mile offshore and about 3.5 acres in size. So it's a good little island. It's not like the other ones we're talking about out in the middle of the ocean, rock and, you know, the wind. This is, I feel, a nice spot to be stationed. In 1831, Congress appropriated $6,000 for a lighthouse in or around the bay. And the island was purchased from Adam McCulloch for $300. And a 20-foot rubble stone tower and dwelling were built and lit in 1833. You can see from this, if you listen to our previous episodes, who built this. You can tell right away.
Oh, no.
So
its fate is sealed
by who built it.
I'll tell you, though.
It wasn't our last episode, was it? 2 episodes ago?
I never can be quoted accurately on that.
Okay, because you went last. Yeah. So it had to have been at least 2 episodes ago.
Yeah, these guys knew how to pose, though.
My question is if they're doing that for scale or...
Probably.
Like, we got, for people that can't see, we got one guy standing on the gallery, which is normal. And we got one guy standing on the roof of the conjoining walkway. Why are you standing on the roof?
I don't know.
It's got to be, maybe he didn't stand out enough in the photo against the walkway because it's dark. And so he's like, I'll just stand on the roof.
I don't know. Pretty cool though. Cool photo.
So this was built by Winslow Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell that by 1842, it was in very poor shape when IWP Lewis made his report that we talked about in that episode as well. Noted the tower was, quote, laid up in lime mortar of bad quality with a loose and leaky roof and decaying woodwork. And given that only $2,700 of the $6,000 budget was used, they kind of got what they paid for on that as well. Never take the low bid. If they think it's going to take $6,000 to build, they're probably going to be closer to $6,000. Less than half, that's pretty bad.
It's not good. No.
The second keeper, Hutchins, noted that the condensation was so bad in the lantern room that he had to wipe the lens off 3 times per night, which there should be no water in there. That's the thing. It's like, you shouldn't have to wipe off the lens of water. Mm-hmm. You're... Things should be sealed appropriately because you know it's near water.
Well, the lens is also warm. So
yeah,
if you're wiping off a warm lens, then it should be, it's a ton of condensation.
Yeah, and this wasn't a Fresnel lens at that time. So yeah, we've got open flame. There should be no water. And he also said the walls of the dwelling were so cracked that he couldn't live there in the winter. I'm like, where would you go? Like, the keeper's house was built at the same time as the tower. They both stunk. There were no outbuildings, so where the heck did you go to the bathroom? Probably a pail, and you threw it out the window.
Oh, God.
He had a boat, but no boathouse, and animals with no barn. Though he said he paid $6 a year to the previous keeper, the first keeper here, to rent a building that he built himself on the island.
We've seen that once before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've mentioned that. That was a while ago, so I don't know which lighthouse, but it happens. So 1857, the order was made to rebuild the light, quote, as rapidly as the means will permit. So it's obviously in really bad shape. Tower was rebuilt as a 25-foot brick cylinder tower. So instead of having this conical shape, no taper, it's just straight up and down. Connected to the existing keeper's dwelling by walkway like the previous tower. So,
nice.
Which is nice. We like to keep that. And it also got a fifth order Fresnel lens. So we're keeping up with the times.
Looks much better.
Yeah. Got a new picture up. Looks sturdier.
It looks like a hard ground to build on.
Yeah, it's all just loose rock. For some reason, I see trees in the background. So for some reason, I thought this was more of a green.
Way out there, yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe that's the shore or something. I don't know. It's not that far from the mainland. So yeah, they gave it a good coat of paint and got a new lens in there. All good things.
The house looks the same, So yeah, maybe they just painted the house.
Stayed, yeah, and just probably did some like renovation on it.
Gosh, these are such small quarters to live in permanently.
I know.
With other guys.
Mm-hmm. And usually with your families too. Only in like some cases was it a stag light where you could only have the keepers living there and then your families would live on the mainland. That was also sad reading about Thanksgiving instances where it's like, oh, like at Tillamook Rock, you don't get your families. It's kind of sad.
Haven't seen him in 20 years.
No. So this lighthouse, like most lighthouses, had a wonderful repertoire with the town, the townspeople. Between 1865 and 1920, 46 vessels wrecked near the lighthouse, with 28 of those being total losses.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Nobody died because the keepers at this lighthouse were so vigilant that they always caught it early enough and then like
they were ready.
Called the mainland and rowed out and so actually helped.
They're good lifesavers,
yes.
But the signal's not so good.
It's just that I'll pull up a picture later after this one that I think shows the islands pretty well. It's just like a lot of islands.
Mm, okay. Unavoidable.
Yeah. So I think it's just really difficult even now to sail in to the port. And like recently they put in, they had one marker of like how to sneak into the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And then on their Facebook, on this lighthouse's Facebook, they put like very excitedly that the second one had been placed, which made it like a channel that you pass through.
Uh-huh.
And so even now it's a struggle to even be on the water around there. So
crazy.
Obviously a good place for a lighthouse, but it wasn't, it's hard. You can't have a lighthouse on every spot where there's danger because it makes it difficult. So anyway, nobody died. George Wakefield was the 12th keeper at the light and passed away there in 1921 after 33 years of service.
Wow.
The town remembered him, quote, for his unusual care and watchfulness, which saved lives because he was able to act quickly to bring rescue to sinking vessels, quote. And this was true for a lot of the keepers at the station, so much so that in 1976, the locals petitioned to keep the Coast Guard from automating the station, which already would have been a little late.
76 is late.
Mm-hmm. The local fisherman said, quote, you're damn right we fought for the light. That lighthouse just isn't something for the tourists to gawk at. There's a man up there and we know he watches out for us. A machine can't do that, end quote. So obviously they felt very strongly about that. And if you think about how many lives they saved just from being up there, like, it's true. You can't automate someone keeping an eye out for like people like that, so... The Coast Guard listened, and it remained staffed until 1990, which is the last light in Maine to be automated and the last in the U.S. behind Boston Harbor Light. So this was the second to last lighthouse in the U.S. to be automated.
That's incredible.
Very cool.
1990.
Yeah. That was
5 years later, Patrick Mahomes, Post Malone, and
Vincent
me,
Bailey.
We were all born. What a good
year.
The
world became a better place.
I only missed this one by 5 years. Damn.
After automation, the Fresnel lens was replaced with a modern optic and began having island caretakers after the station was leased to the Kennebunkport Conservation Trust in 1992.
Okay, nice.
So in 1994, the caretaker was Richard Dick Curtis, known for his jokes, smiles, and laughter. And he continued in his role through the trust, receiving the title through the Maine Lights program in 1998. So, 2002, Curtis fell overboard and drowned while out on a boat in the harbor.
Damn.
It's interesting to hear about it happening
in 02.
In modern day. Yeah. That's
post 9/11.
Exactly.
Oh, that's crazy.
The caretaker after him, Scott Dombrowski, who is still there today, believes, like many other locals, that Curtis's spirit still resides on the island. And I'll give you some examples.
He wasn't the first one to die there, though.
No.
Okay.
There was one other guy in 1921, I believe. This guy is stuck around, which is also strange. It's like a modern-day haunting.
Yeah.
This is the
recent history.
Yeah, this is the one I should have covered for Halloween. Instead, I'm doing it for Thanksgiving.
The spooky Thanksgiving.
Oh, very fast. I was ready to write out the entire sound effect. So anyway, Shortly after Curtis's death, a woman on a tour said to Scott that the place was haunted and she had a message from Curtis, quote, that he was all right and that he was going to make his presence known, end quote. I would be like, no, that's okay.
Please move on.
That's all right.
I've got this.
Go live your best afterlife. So at that point, items had started to go missing on the island and would eventually turn up always on the kitchen table. This is something Scott would say, that like if he misplaced something, it would always show up on the kitchen table.
That's scary.
Very spooky. And then one day, Dombrowski remembers, quote, it was cold and I was exhausted. So I sat in Dick's easy chair and said, Dickie, give me some heat. There was an old electric heater that hadn't worked for years. And at that moment, it turned on. Like, what? No. I'd be like,
Would you keep the ghost's chair around? I don't know if I could.
Well, if you think, I have a bunch of my grandma's stuff.
Yeah, but she didn't die in, I guess.
Well, he didn't
I don't know,
die in his chair.
I don't know where I was going with that.
If somebody died in a chair, yes, I would get rid of the chair. You left the chair there after your death, I may use the chair.
Yeah. Yep.
Unless it's haunted, which this appears to be. In 2007, they began having problems with the foghorn. And at this point, the foghorn was automated or like automatic.
Yeah.
And so it's like a little less spooky because it could be like problems, but I'll go on with it. Goat Island had a great view of Walker's Point. You know where that is?
No, actually.
It's where President George W. Bush had his estate.
Oh.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
And because of this view, the Secret Servicemen were often stationed there during the presidency of George H.W. Bush because they could see the estate from Goat Island. Oh, I actually have, this is where I have a picture.
That's so funny.
So there's a red pin on Walker's Point, and then you can see Goat Island Lighthouse over here. So it's still a pretty good distance, and I don't know what's going on with Bumpkin Island.
Bumpkin Island.
Don't want to use.
they probably don't like the name Bumpkin. Yes.
And in this picture, you can see all of the island in the shallow water that I was talking about.
I'm surprised the Secret Service, like, is someone going to launch a rocket?
Yeah, what like, are they going to do? It must just be, like, surveillance or something. I don't even know. It's so far
away.
Maybe it's
because the lighthouse is high. Maybe they went up to the gallery and they were like, yep.
Only 25 feet,
still there.
Though.
Yeah, but, yeah. On the waterfront, 25 feet's pretty good.
Yeah. Anyway, that was interesting. In 2007, Scott said, quote, Bush Sr. came on his boat and took pictures. Then he brought his son and President Putin and said, there was something going on at that
Putin's
time.
Putin's been around for a long time, man.
Yeah, but what?
The like, first Bush, I think he's dead.
Yeah.
From old age.
I think so.
And Bush W. Jr. he was president when I was a kid.
Is the current President Putin the same?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Dictator.
Wow. Interesting. Bush said, see, our people want us to work together. Scott asked out loud because he lives at the lighthouse. He said, quote, hey, Dick, what do you think of that? And the foghorn, which had been quiet, suddenly sounded. And since then, the foghorn would sound more often, even on clear days. And they were getting complaints from people around there because it's like, why is the foghorn going off if there's no fog? It should be like accurate warnings. So then they tested like new signals, like they added new signals, and then they disconnected power altogether and it still went off.
Yep.
That's where it's spooky. And then they replaced the entire foghorn and it stopped doing it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
We had that at a house. We had a doorbell that would ring and then we discovered that, because our house was haunted,
mm-hmm.
we discovered that it was totally disconnected and yet somehow it would still ring.
That's what you get for being rich.
We were renting the house.
Oh, what? I thought this was your White House.
No. This is in Colorado.
Oh, because the White House would have been spookier because it's so like big and vast.
Yeah. This is
This is in Colorado. So what kind of house did you have in Colorado?
Dad moved a couple times.
I know. I'm just saying like, was it?
It was a big house.
Okay.
Big, like bigger than the White House.
Yeah, because you had a ranch on it.
No, different house.
What?
This was in town in Pueblo, Colorado.
Oh.
And we rented the house. It had like a mother's quarters in the basement. So my dad like let his partner at work, like his coworker's mom, live in our basement. Wilma. She's from the South. She was a lot of fun.
Wait.
The point is the house was so big that we had two separate residences.
Oh.
And like never saw, unless we like intentionally went to hang out.
Yeah.
Never saw that lady.
This was an old house?
Old house.
Sounding mother's quarters. Like, what is that?
Supposedly the guy who owned it was gay, because there's lots of gay art that was there.
Oh.
We moved in.
Okay.
And he died in the house.
Oh.
So that's we suspect he was the one who was haunting the house. He never did anything harmful. He would like set off. We had motion sensors. He would set those off at nighttime. No one was out there. The doorbell rang a couple times when we were all home. And we went to the front door. No one was there. And then we called and they discovered that the doorbell, they're like, you must be hearing something else because this is not connected. They showed us the wires were never completed. Like they were not landed on any electrical source.
Oh my gosh.
So that was interesting. And then
spooky.
My dad one time had coffee. And if it was just this story, everyone would be like, he just forgot, right? He had coffee. He just made it. It was too hot to drink. So he put it on his desk and like went and got ready, uh-huh. Put clothes on, came back. And the coffee was gone. But the cup was totally clean. Like,
ew.
No ring in the bottom. No, there's yeah. less than I remember. It's as if he never made the coffee. So we went back to the coffee machine and he had made the coffee. Because my dad has a fancy coffee machine.
Yeah.
So like, did he put the mug somewhere else? Did he have a mental break? Like, or did the ghost drink coffee?
Yeah, maybe he was like, thank God. And nobody leaves their coffee alone around here.
So again, this is a big house. And two more stories. One, we moved in. We found all the artwork. And we were all fascinated.
What kind of artwork? Are we talking phallic? Gay. Or are we talking...
Like the kitchen had a giant paint. This beautiful painting with two roosters. Okay. And that was like, that was the most
deep.
Underhand of like, the kid just, I mean, we're in the, like, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Like,
and then
ducks or roosters and chickens are common decorations, but they're never two roosters together.
Lots of male nudity.
Oh.
So like, okay. but classy, like the Statue of David.
Oh.
But a painting. Okay. Mm-hmm. You could be like, yeah, what you're looking for it. You're looking for this bias.
Yeah.
And then some others that were not statues I could know of in history or anything. So, and then in the basement, there is a huge house, storage space, unfinished basement space had, I think there were between 8 and 10 feet tall, a nativity set that was creepy. Eight to 10 feet tall, huge.
Like life-size cows.
Bigger than life-size.
What?
Jesus, Mary.
And put them in the yard?
Baby Jesus. But we didn't put them in the yard. They were just in the basement. I don't know what he did.
Okay.
He clearly got them from a church
somewhere. So he died and you guys moved in?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And they hadn't moved his stuff out.
Oh my gosh.
So
I could never.
I think he haunted. I didn't believe in ghosts at all.
Yeah.
0% until we lived in that house. And then I was, I was a kid there. I was 10 to 12, somewhere in there.
Yeah. But
that type of stuff, it was just like, well, if ghosts are real and if he's here.
He seems friendly. Yeah.
So
he's probably just going about his normal business.
Jonesing for some coffee.
Not noticing. Yeah.
Again, I've dragged this way off track.
No, it's nice.
The gay ghost realm.
Flamboyant.
He probably wasn't gay. He's like, gosh.
Or he's like, I just liked the painting.
I just understood travel and art. And you simple boy don't.
Simple boy. Back to our story.
How did I drag us there?
It was the ghost thing.
Ghost, yes,
but
the chair.
But
oh my gosh.
It was at the tail end. I just had one more note that Scott said, quote, it was just a very calming, wonderful presence, and I wish he would still show himself. Quote.
That's
so
nice.
Probably the last way that he showed himself was
foghorn.
By use of the foghorn, and now that it's new and probably something he's unfamiliar with working, he just doesn't.
Yeah, he was on duty, and then they're like.
Yeah, they're like, oh. 2011, a $1 million renovation project was completed by the trust to restore the station to 1950s condition.
Which was good,
another
right?
Picture. Yes. But just like how it looked, especially on the inside.
$11
million? $1
million. Okay.
$11 million? Like, I don't know.
Where's the golf course?
In 2011. That's funny. So yeah, the Keeper's House has had some changes since then, it appears. So Maybe they rebuilt it, or I don't know. It looks a little different to me.
Well, we're looking at a different side of it.
That's true.
All the other previous pictures were from where the sun is at, screen right.
Yeah, right.
So maybe those, like, there's four windows, I think, on that wall.
Yeah, so maybe visually it just looks a little different, but yeah. And then 2022, the submarine cable failed. We've heard about that.
Yeah, we've heard of that story.
And in June 2024, so very recently, solar panels were set up on the walkway to supply power to the station. So nice. Now it supports itself out there. And they have a Facebook page. So Scott and Karen Dombrowski live...
Scott and Karen.
I know, like your siblings. Live in the Keeper's Cottage, and you can visit by boat during the summer months during high tide. So they have a tiny little dock where you can pull up, and they said if Scott and Karen are home, then they'll give you a tour of the lighthouse, or you can just like be on the grounds.
So they're private owners of this. They spent $1 million?
The trust did, but they work for them.
Oh, they're probably on the board.
Or maybe, I don't know. I guess I didn't look.
Maybe they do double duty. They live there and take care of it as well.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
They're definitely, yeah. They've had caretakers since they took over in 1992, so.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's got to be in good shape because there's actually people out there caring about it.
You see that tall post by the tower? What do you think that is?
It's probably weather related. A lot of lighthouses.
Oh, yeah, it's a sensor probably.
Yeah, nowadays have posts like that.
I was going to say, it's not a lightning rod because it's
higher than the lightning rod.
It's, well, lightning rods would be.
You know what I mean? There's one on the top of the tower.
Yeah, but if you wanted to save it.
Oh.
So it was a historical lightning rod or something. But you.
That's true.
I think you would have to have ferrous materials, and that appears to be aluminum or polish. Stainless. Anyway, doesn't matter. Cool. Thanks. Scott and Karen, shout out.
Yeah. Love to thanks come for see taking ya. Care of a lighthouse. Someday we're going to lose a lot of these lighthouses, and we got to have people caring for ones that'll stick around.
It's just going to keep happening, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the folks that we keep in contact with talking about this, trying to prevent that.
Yeah.
But also celebrate the time we do have. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
cool.
Well, we're never adding more lighthouses, so we only have the ones that we have now, and moving on, it'll probably be less and less. So we got to appreciate our lighthouses as they stand.
Looks good. Looks like it's in great shape.
Yeah, it's really good. So yeah, that's Goat Island Lighthouse, the one in Maine, not the one in Rhode Island. But we'll cover Rhode Island sometime.
Terrible sidetracks on my side of the table.
They're not terrible. They're nice. You know, we're a very casual podcast. We just talk.
We are. The people that are probably still listening who listen on YouTube have, like, I don't know how it's worked. We don't have that many listens right now. But those who do listen
stick
a lot.
Through the whole thing.
They stick around. So thank you all.
Thank you.
If you're still here this deep.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
And we love comments. And we love reviews. Leave us reviews. We haven't gotten a review since, like, early this year. So. Mm-hmm. If you like this episode, leave us a review at thelighthouselowdown.com. You can also watch our YouTube videos or be led to our YouTube channel. You can leave a review. You can listen to all of our episodes or use the links to get to like Spotify, Apple, etc. You can also check us out on Instagram where we post some pictures for each lighthouse that we cover at The Lighthouse Lowdown. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty much it. A happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners. We love you so much, and we're very thankful that you stick around and listen to our stuffs.
Appreciate you.
Okay, I was like, you look like you want to say something. And we'll catch you next time on The Lighthouse Lowdown.